God bless you today, beloved. Praise the living King of glory, Jesus, the life of the Father. Amen. Something I've been, I wouldn't say wrestling, but bouncing back and forth in my spirit the last several days is the fact that God has hidden things from us on purpose. And I was kind of frustrated with people not seeing the new covenant, even when you take time to explain to them and try to help them to understand it, they still cannot see it. Even if you do so for years, they can't see it, especially if they're not a true believer. And they'll never see it if they don't really seek Him and His Word. The only ones I've ever seen who have actually began to get the revelation of the cross and begin to truly understand the new covenant and grasp why we had to die and begin to reject outright and totally their own life that they got from their parents. All the time, every day, reject it and begin to truly believe in the life of Jesus Christ. The only ones I've seen that do that or even come close to that are those who are seekers. They're the ones that go to the Word of God and earnestly seek God, earnestly seek Him to know the truth. And as I was thinking of this, the Lord, because I was kind of frustrated, I was like, God, why did you make it so difficult? It seems so simple when you really begin to understand the new covenant. When you begin to understand the cross, when you begin to truly understand what baptism really is, being baptized into His death, denying ourselves, turning away from our life forever, and we have to do that every day. But why can't people understand that? Why do people think that Jesus is added to us? Why do people think that God loves our life, the very life that He came to crucify? Why don't they understand it? Why do they reject the real simple truth that if any man is truly in Christ Jesus, he is a brand new creation? Old things pass away. Behold, all things become brand new. What that means is the new person never existed before. They do not take anything with them of the old person. Nothing. It's not Jesus added to us. So why can't they get it? Why can't they understand it? The Bible says that it's spiritually discerned. The things of the Spirit, the natural man cannot comprehend them. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the cross, cannot be understood with the natural mind. This is also why many have taken it and twisted it to their own destruction and have taught things that are not true. There is no such thing as some kind of easy grace where we're walking around still sinning, still living in the flesh, but we're under God's grace because He loves us so much and He died for us on the cross. All of that is blindness. It's not truly understanding what happened at the cross and why it had to happen. Listen, God did not need to die. We did. Jesus didn't need to die. We did. That's why He had to become sin. He had to become sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, friend. He didn't just carry our sin. He became our sin. He became our life. He became the life of Adam. That's why Moses held up a serpent in the wilderness to as a sign of what Jesus was going to do. And everyone who looked at that serpent was healed. He didn't hold up an angel or some beautiful picture of something that represented God, or even a lamb for that matter. He held up a serpent. Now I want you to understand something. It wasn't just the Lamb of God that died. It was the serpent that died. Jesus became sin. He was the sacrificial lamb who voluntarily became a serpent, who voluntarily became our wicked life. All of us have the same life, the life of Adam. Jesus became that life, and He put it to death. And if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, who didn't come so we can talk in tongues, he didn't come so we could prophesy. He came to explain to us and show us the truth of what Jesus accomplished on the cross and why he had to accomplish it. Until you really grasp it, you'll never fully reject your own life. And the devil will gladly feed you all kinds of false teachings to make you believe that you can hang on to your life and have his also. The devil will feed you all kinds of false teachings to make you feel comfortable in your life, to make you feel like there's no danger, that Jesus died for you because he loves you so much. He's got a great plan for your life, and it is all absolute deception. And so I was so concerned about this, and I prayed to the Father, God, why? Why would you make it so difficult to understand? Why would you make it? Why would you hide it? And you may be thinking, what do you mean hide it? If you really study the scriptures, which most people don't do these days, I'm not saying that as a judgment, it's just a fact. They don't really study the scripture in context. They're not seeking him to find out the truth. They're just believing what they believe, and then they go to the scriptures to confirm what they believe. And they don't really study to know the truth. And if you really look in the scriptures, you will see that God, from beginning to end, hides the truth. Always. Even in the Old Covenant, it said he hid behind thick darkness. And John tells us in the New Covenant, this is the message we've received from Jesus. There is no darkness in him. So I'm like, God, why would you hide? If there's no darkness in you, why did you make people think that there was? Why do you hide the truth? Why do you hide yourself? Jesus came and said, Father, thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and you've revealed them to babes. And the word, all through the word, if you will seek me, the Lord said, I'm going to send you into captivity to the Israelites. And if from there, if from in the place of your captivity, when you are in bondage, when you cannot really walk in the life of God, and you're separated from the power and the glory and the righteousness of God, if in that place, if in that place, you will seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Jesus comes, says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Jesus says the kingdom is like a man who was digging in a field, searching for treasure, searching. And when he found a great treasure, he buried it, went and sold everything that he had, and went and bought that field. The kingdom of God is like a merchant of costly stones. When he was searching for costly stones, he found a pearl of great price and went and sold everything he had to buy that pearl. It's all about the searching. And one of the main reasons that God hides it is because he is only interested in those who are interested in him. If we don't want to really know, we will never find it. If we're content, if we're satisfied with religion, if we're content, if we're satisfied with Christianity, if we're content and we're satisfied with zeal for God, all of it, friend, all of it is not the way. The only way is the cross, and that cross does not represent how much he loves our life. It represents the end of our life, because none of us can produce his righteousness. Absolutely none of us. The commandment, no matter where the commandment, whether it comes from the Father or it comes from Jesus while he's here, the commandment, Paul said, the commandment of God is ordained to bring us to life. But that commandment will always lead us through death to get us to life. And this is what Adam does not want. Adam does not want to give up his life. He doesn't want to hate his own life. He doesn't want to despair of his own life. He doesn't want to go through the darkness to find the light. And so he will never find the light. The commandment that was meant to and ordained to bring us to life, actually, our sin, our iniquity, took advantage of that commandment and brought us to death. But listen, the gospel is death first. The gospel is death first and then life. Baptism is death first and then life. And it's not an initial death and now you get to walk around in life all the time. Jesus said, daily take up your cross. And listen, it's not just death to your sin. It is death to you. It is death to everything that came from your parents, the seed that you were born of, Adam. It is death to who you are before you are born of God. That new life that's created in true holiness and righteousness is actually Jesus Christ. If you're born again, the life inside of you is not you. It is the life of Jesus. And you, my friend, are dead. You died with Jesus Christ. If you think God wants to combine with a dead person to make your plans come to pass and make your dreams come true, then Satan has hoodwinked you. He's lied to you and he's deceived you. The cross is not the beginning of your future success. The cross is the end of you once and for all. And until the Holy Spirit helps you to see what you are, let me show this to you in the Word. This is not a doctrine of some person. This is God. This is the Holy Spirit. If you don't have ears to hear it, it'll just irritate you. You'll just turn it off. But this is the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a good example. The pastor was preaching a good message yesterday in church on Jesus said, I've got a new commandment for you. Love one another even as I've loved you. Listen, Jesus is God, friend. Jesus is not giving us a different a commandment. He's not replacing the old commandments with a new one. He's giving us a new one in addition to the commandments God has already told us. Jesus says, I have a new commandment. The Father told us in the beginning there, through Moses, he told us, listen, it's love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those represent all 10 commandments. Now Jesus adds to it. He says, listen, I'm telling you, I'm giving you a new commandment. I want you to love each other. Same thing as the old covenant, same thing as the old commandments. But this time he says, it's a new commandment because I've demonstrated how I want you to love each other. I've demonstrated it. I'm showing you how to do it. And Jesus gave up everything for us. Everything, friend. He did not seek anything for himself. He had no house. He had no property. He had nothing. He gave up everything for our salvation. And friend, this is scary, but this is what Jesus demands of us. This is what Jesus commands us. We would love to shift it and change it and make it something else. But if you want to obey the command of Jesus to love each other as he loved us, that means you've got to give up everything for the salvation of other people. You've got to give up yourself completely. Everything you want, everything you desire, everything that your natural man wants, you have to give it up so that you can deliver other people. Somebody said, that's impossible. Listen, when Jesus gave that commandment, Peter was there and Peter was on fire. He was zealous and he was determined. I guarantee it shows it in the Word. He was determined to keep that commandment. So when Jesus says, all of you will deny me, Peter says, not me, no matter what. No matter what, I'm going to love you to the end. I'm going to love you to the end. Now, I know that doesn't have to do with him loving others as Jesus loved us, but he was determined to walk in the love of God and to be dedicated to Jesus no matter what, no matter what. He was going to do it. That's what the law does for anybody who really wants to follow it. It stirs up zeal. It stirs up passion. And that's what it's supposed to do. It brought Peter to the end of himself, and that's why he became one of the greatest apostles. Even his shadow was healing the sick. It brought him to the end of himself. How did it do that? Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but when you're restored. So Peter said, even if all of these deny you, even if everybody else abandons you, I will not. He believed he loved Jesus with all of his heart. He believed that he did. And Jesus looked at him when he said that, said, Peter, I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will deny me. And Peter did. He denied Jesus, even calling curses down on himself. He denied Jesus and fell deeply into despair and darkness. You know what happened? The law, the commandment, even Jesus's commandment, brought him to despair because he tried to do it. He tried to fulfill it. He tried to walk in it, and it didn't work. It brought him to despair. And so when Jesus comes to restore him, Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Peter, do you agape me?" The English destroys it. It doesn't give it any justice, not a single version. And this is not my opinion. Just go look it up. When Jesus, if you look up the Greek words for love in that one small passage where Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." That's not what he actually said. Jesus said, "Peter, do you agape me?" Which is real love, dedicated love, selfless love. And Peter answers the question, "Lord, you know I phileo you," which is a different word. It's the word for like, I really like something very much. The pastor was ministering yesterday and he hit that nail right on the head, because we can phileo ice cream. We can phileo sports. We can like very much, but it's a very different word than passionate, sold out, selfless love, which is the word agape. It's the word Jesus used to describe real, genuine love of God that none of us can produce. So he comes up to Peter and says, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter responds, "Lord, I phileo you." And Jesus asks him again, "Peter, do you agape me?" And once again, Peter did not say, "I agape you." Peter said, "Lord, you know I phileo you." And then the third time, Jesus says, "Okay, Peter, now you've got the message," is what he's saying. So the third time, Jesus says, "Peter, do you phileo?" The third time, Jesus used the word for like and affection. And Peter hung his head and he wept. And he said, "Lord, you know that I do." Because that was true. Peter did have affection for Jesus. He did like Jesus very much, but he did not love God. None of us love God. I've heard people say, "I love God. I've always loved God." They just don't see what they are yet. They don't understand it. It hasn't really seeded into their conscience. And the Holy Spirit hasn't so far brought them to a place where they see that none of us love God. We have never loved God. We only love our idea of God. We do not love Him. If we loved Him, we would love Him with all of our mind. We would never, ever give our mind to anything that doesn't come from the Father. Somebody might say, "Brother, that's ridiculous. That's too much." Jesus did not. Jesus is the only life that loves the Father. He never one time gave His mind to anything that wasn't the Father. He said, "I never say what I anything unless I hear the Father say it. I never do anything unless I see the Father do it." Never, ever, ever, ever. Jesus did not have His life and the life of the Father. He only had the life of the Father. He only yielded to the life of the Father. When we say we love God in our Adamic life, "Oh, I've always had a love for God," that's not love, friend. It is not love at all. At best, it's phileo. And most of the time, it's not even that. But Peter had to find out that he didn't love God. He had to find out why he had to die, why he had to turn away from himself, why he had to hate his own life. You cannot have the life that loves God, the life of Jesus, unless you turn away from your own life. The amazing thing about that passage, when Jesus says that this is a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. And then he says, "By this the world will know you are my disciples." Now, if you look up, almost every time Jesus talks about his disciples, he says this: "If you do not hate your life, you can't be my disciple. If any man doesn't give up everything that he has, he cannot be my disciple." You see, all of this goes together, but it's a hidden mystery. It's a hidden mystery. I did not really get it. I was preaching for over 20 years before I really, really, really got it, that I have to 100%, absolutely, totally reject Jeff. I have to. Jeff came from Adam. He cannot go into heaven. God did not come to partner with Jeff. He didn't come to bless Jeff. He didn't even come to heal and save Jeff. That is a misconception. Our healing and our salvation is in Jesus Christ, and we will never love each other as he loved us unless we totally, completely reject our own life and everything that it wants and everything that it desires. I, by the grace of God, the more I do so, now I'm rejecting my life. I don't want to watch anything that my natural man wants to watch. I don't want to listen to it. I only want to do what I see him do. I only want to say, I don't care about having a house anymore. I don't care about comforts anymore. I've always cared about that stuff. Now I don't care. I don't want anything. I would much rather be in a jungle somewhere, sleeping under a tree and preaching and seeing people delivered and healed and set free. Not because it's exciting, but because that's what the Father wants. That's what the Father burns for. It's the deliverance of people. The only way, friend, we'll ever be able to have this kind of life, this life of Jesus that's willing to give up everything, everything for the salvation of others, everything so that others can have life. That's the only life that loves that loves the Father like Jesus. I missed my words right there. It's the only life that loves one another as he loves us. How did he love us? He gave up everything. 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 The Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. He never went after a single thing for himself. He never bought anything for himself. He never went after land. He never went after property. He never had an account. You know, he never had a bank account. They had those back then. He even talked about it, about putting it on bank account for interest. He never had any of that stuff. Why? Because he didn't want anything for himself. The only thing he lived for was the salvation of other people. And that's the life of God. The life of God hates money. Jesus said, you either hate money or you hate God. And Adam was standing there. All the religious Adams were standing there going, you're crazy. He said, yeah, because you guys justify yourselves before people. But what you hold as valuable, God sees as disgusting. Everything in this world is polluted and filthy and disgusting, all of it. And it came from Adam. It came from fallen man. And so the only way to really walk in the fullness of Jesus' life is to totally and completely reject and deny yourself and to hate your own life. And this is the gospel. But you'll never be able to see it if you don't seek. Peter found out because he sought. The Apostle Paul found out because he sought. The Apostle Paul wanted zealously to do what God wanted him to do. He pursued God with all of his being. He pursued the law with all of his being. And Jesus revealed himself to Paul and showed him and took him to the third heaven and explained to him the true gospel, our death, our burial, and then walking in the life of Jesus because we are no more. God put an end to us. And if we don't believe it, and if we don't confess it, and we don't lay hold of the life of Jesus Christ, as he told Timothy, lay hold of eternal life. That's Jesus. The Bible said in John, the eternal life that was with the Father came down out of heaven and revealed itself to us. We touched it. We spent time with it. The eternal life. It's talking about Jesus. Eternal life is not what you get when you die. It is the life of Jesus. It's not here to partner with you. It's not here to bless you. It's not here to make your dreams come true. It's not here to embrace you. Friend, it's the only life that can get into the kingdom of God. It's the only life. And so the mystery from the very beginning, Jesus was crucified at the foundation of the world. God purposely allowed them to have that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He purposely allowed the devil in that garden. He purposely allowed us to fall. Why? Because we have a choice. We have a choice. Do we really want to surrender every moment to the only righteous life that there is? The only righteous life that exists? It's the only way we can be in heaven without polluting heaven. Is to every moment and every second be yielded, be a vessel where the life of the Father flows. If there's anything in us that wants independence, if there's anything in us that wants our own opinion, if there's anything in us that wants our own way, friend, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is why we had to die. This is the mystery of the cross. Until you believe it, until you understand it, you won't reject you. You'll keep asking God to bless you. You'll keep trying to add God to you. The cross is not an instrument where God is showing how he wants to embrace you. The cross is the end of you. But this is a mystery, and the natural man cannot understand it. And if the natural man did understand it, it would make him violently angry. He would join Satan's forces. I know this. I understand. I guarantee you, every Adam, if they truly understood, they'd quit saying they love God and they'd admit that they hate God. The Bible says it. It's not my opinion. The Bible said the flesh, the natural man, is enmity against God. It is God's enemy. It cannot submit nor subject itself to the law of God. It is impossible. It is God's enemy. And all these Adams saying, I love God, and oh, I've always had a love for God. All Adams that say that are deceived. They don't see it yet. And that's every Adam. Almost every human being thinks they love God. They think they do. But they don't. They hate God. They just can't see it. That's why Jesus came and said, you either hate God or you hate money. Which one? And everybody standing there thought, what are you talking about? They began to make sarcastic comments. All the Pharisees were standing there, the very religious ones who prayed and fasted and read the word and did everything they thought God wanted them to do. They're standing there going, you're crazy, man. They begin to mock and make sarcastic comments about what he's saying, because Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You can't serve God and wealth. You can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in personal gain. This doesn't even make sense, friend. Almost everybody's using God now, saying that he wants to give us personal gain, and using God trying to get personal gain through him. It's amazing, because Adam is a wicked, devilish creature. That is you. That is me. All of us are wicked, devilish creatures. No matter how religious we are, no matter how good we think we are, we want our own self. We want our own stuff. We want God to add to us. We want God to put us on the top and bless us and keep us. And we really, genuinely do not really care. You know, right now there are millions and millions of people burning underneath you. How often do you think about it? You don't. Most often you don't. You might hear a message and make you think about it for a few minutes. I remember one day I was on the way to a Chinese restaurant from church, and I just realized the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, right now, while you're going to feed your belly, there are millions of people burning and screaming in torment. And I couldn't eat that Chinese food. I went and sat down to eat Chinese food, and I was just shaken by that understanding. It's like, even right now, while you're sitting in your house, there's abuse going on all around you, and all these houses, people raping their own children, people beating their wives, people, alcoholic drug addicts, people worshiping the devil, people watching pornography in almost every house all up and down the street, destruction everywhere, all kinds of stuff around the world. There are people starving to death, people being murdered every day, people being tortured, and we just go on with life, you know. As long as we got our stuff, we pay our tithe, you know, God blesses us. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. I'm on the way to heaven. How about you? And for, I'm telling you, we have no idea. We have no idea how wicked we are. Jesus never lived a moment for himself. He lived every moment for the lost mankind. He lived every moment to see people delivered. He came to do the Father's will. And that's the only life that does the Father's will. And that's exactly what will happen to us when we reject our own life and begin to experience His. You can't produce it. You can't make it happen. But the Holy Spirit wants to take you by the hand, use the commandment to demand of you perfect righteousness, not halfway. You either love Him with all your mind, or the fact is you don't love Him at all. The law doesn't say love Him, try to love Him with all your mind. Jesus didn't say try to love each other as I've loved you. Try to give up your life for other people. No, He said do it. This is my commandment to you. Do it. Every commandment from God is the same thing. It's to the life of Adam to reveal its iniquity. It brings you to death, because it intends to bring you to life. The law was a schoolmaster, still is. Every commandment, friend, not just the ones in the Old Covenant, even what Jesus said, it's a schoolmaster to take you by the hand and lead you to Jesus Christ. But the only way to Christ is into the grave. The only way to Christ is into the tomb. The only way to Christ is to be buried. That's the only way. So the Holy Spirit will lead you to death. He will lead you to death so that He can bring you to life. He will lead you to death so He can bring you to life. And it's the only gospel that there is. Death, burial, and resurrection. Everything else is made up for Adam to keep living. Everything else is made up to appeal to Adam and tell Adam how much God loves him and how much God wants to sustain him, how much God wants to preserve him, how much God wants to bless him. Friend, it is all a fallacy. And then there's the religious side where it tells Adam, if you'll be good and you'll do right, everybody else will go to hell, but not you. And so they get in the church and they preach about how all these sinners are going to hell, but we're going to live for God and we're going to make it to hell. Friend, it's all the same life. It's all a lie. Everybody's got to die. The preacher's got to die just like the prostitute has to die. And we did die. But if we don't believe we died, we won't hate our life. I've learned to hate my religious life more than I ever hated my sinful life. I learned to hate the one who loved tithes as a pastor. I learned to hate the one who did all kinds of things I didn't even realize were wicked. I was doing my best to be righteous. I don't have time to get into that in this devotion. But friend, all of us have to hate our life. All of us. It's the only gospel. It's the only way. And that's the only path to be able to truly walk in the life of Jesus. Yield at every moment. If you want to read this somewhere, if you think it's something new, you could read Andrew Murray's books, Absolute Surrender, Humility, The Two Covenants, Abide in Christ. All those are different books. Every one of them say the same thing. Many ministers in years past, this is all they preached. Death to self. We call it religion. But death to self, it's the only way into the life of Jesus Christ. But God bless you today. Sorry for all the beeps. I forgot to silence that. But love you today in Jesus' name. God bless you. May the Lord continue to reveal to you the mystery of the cross and bring you into the true life of Jesus Christ. Amen.